You're listening to OK Now Listen, a bi-weekly show where we chat about what's on our minds, what we're binging, and what's blowing up our timelines. I'm Scotty Beam, media personality, content creator, music enthusiast, and wing connoisseur.
And I'm Sylvia Obel, culture writer, host, producer, and lover of Beyoncé.
And we are still here, and we are still
here,
strong.
Here.
I'm still standing.
Here.
I'm still strong. Barely. Guys, we have been shooting for 5 days straight.
I want y'all to know, Netflix is, we are earning every dollar.
Every single cent.
Every cent.
Every cent.
This week, you know, we say, yeah, let's make the most of Scotty Bean in LA. And they said, heard you. Say less.
Every single day. Another set. Another set. Another set.
Another car. Another location.
Oh,
another
my
script.
Gosh, man.
Another interview. We working on something really special. We can't tell you guys exactly what, but you'll see it soon.
You're definitely going to enjoy it.
It was quite the experience.
It definitely was, but it made it amazing, like 10 times amazing, because I got to do it with one of my closest friends. So
yes.
I love that, Sylvia.
I love my work wife.
I know, work wife.
Because, listen, these are a lot of hours to be spending with one
yes.
person, child. It's a lot of trials and tribulations and
mm-hmm.
moments and emotions. But there is nobody else I would rather do it with. And I just am happy that we survived.
I'm so happy.
We did it. We did it, Joe. And I just think that the theme of our week has really been about community.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We talked about it on set on our last day.
Yeah.
Shout out to the production team we worked with, Sony and Yates, Black-owned.
Black-owned.
Black crew. Black talent, Black leadership in all roles, and it was such a great experience. And, I mean, also, it speaks to our fortitude, I really feel like, Scotty, because we have not done video all pandemic.
And that's all I've been saying I wanted to do. I love video.
Loved it. Forgot
love
how
video.
Much energy it took.
It takes a lot.
It was like running a marathon with no training.
Yes. Especially after the pandemic.
After the pandemic. But, yeah, I had a great time. It's also sad to me, though, because it means that we are near the end of your time in L.A.
We are.
And while I have spent more hours with you this week than I have in the last 2 years, I will miss you.
Oh.
And I just want to know when you're coming back, because
I will say to you and everyone here in L.A., I had a great time. I don't have anything negative to say about it because it truly was special. But yeah, I did enjoy my month here in LA. I definitely will have another month in LA down the line. But as people know, it's Libra season.
It is.
Okay?
It is.
Shout out to all my Libras in the world.
Every single one of them. We know them. They're all born next week. This week.
We are here in attendance. So I have to go home and, you know, revel in my Libraisms.
Yes. Shout out to Miss Shayla, because I know she is watching the clock.
Yes, child.
If she don't get Scotty by a certain date,
yes,
we gonna hear about it.
My birthday is coming up. It is on Sunday, October 3rd.
It is.
I am very happy to celebrate it this time. I am not having any sort of anxiety about it
Good.
Yet. Usually I do,
Growth.
But this year I'm not. And maybe because I'm coming off of working, so
I'm
on a high.
You're
I'm on a high
right
now.
And, like, I think there's a calmness that comes with your 30s, right? Now you're about to step another foot into the year.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's, like, a bit more of a steady feeling decade for me. I feel like every moment of my 20s was like, ah, ha, ha, ha.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But
I feel very blessed and happy to really be here. I am so grateful. Also being on Ulta Beauty's
yes, Muse 100.
That was a very spiritual moment for me as well.
Our muse, one of our favorite muses, absolutely had to be on that list. Of 100, get the hell out. What do you mean? What? Yes, duh.
Well, it is a blessing. It's really an honor to even be thought of. Thank
yes,
you so
well,
much.
Y'all all give Scotty a lot of love this week. It is her birthday week indeed.
It is my
birthday. I want to ask
week.
You before we move on, what's a birthday wish for your 31st year of life?
I really don't have anything. I think that's my wish. My wish is to remain the way that I feel right now.
Okay.
To keep it going. That's pretty much it. I'm so blessed.
You are.
And I get really emotional, so you know.
I know.
But I have to remain grateful for these moments and times. You know, it's just something that a lot of people don't get to experience, and I hope that more people get to experience.
Beautiful. Love to hear it.
Yeah.
This week, we have a very special guest on the show.
Absolutely, yes. We're about to sit down with our girl, our homie,
good sis,
Ashley Blaine Featherston Jenkins.
Hey, new last name added.
Okay. You may know her from Dear White People as Joelle.
Yes, and she's also just very fabulous beauty queen to follow on social media. She always keeps her foot on everybody's necks. This wedding content, our girl Ashley has just not stopped. And I don't want the content to stop coming, from the bachelorette to the wedding to the bridal shower to the honeymoon in the Maldives. My God.
It was there.
The melanin was shining.
I loved it.
I have been loving it. And we are so excited to talk to her about the final season of Dear White People and building a tribe and her life as a newlywed. Just like Black love. We love to see it.
Fills my heart up.
Okay, we are here.
We are in the flesh.
With one of our favorite
absolutely
Netflix stars. Ashley Blaine Featherston Jenkins.
Hey.
Mrs. Jenkins.
She's hello. Here.
She's here.
She's in the building.
She's with
here.
Us.
And she's talk. Married.
And she's married. And we're happy about it. So, first of all, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. I'm so obsessed much. With you, too. Obviously, I wouldn't have missed this. Duh.
Right. Like, we were like, so Ashley, right? Cool. Like, there was just no way we weren't making this happen because it's very natural with all three of us.
Yes,
like, it's
clearly.
Just,
yes.
It's just, we all are fans of each other. We all support each other.
Yes.
So we are very happy to come together for this moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, first off, like we just said, congratulations on your wedding.
Thank you.
Like, okay. It was so beautiful. It was so beautiful.
What a moment. I kept saying it's like I was being an Instagram stalker. And I'm like, what a moment.
Every moment.
I felt like I was there. I was like, look at us.
Okay. I felt like I was in the audience like, oh, yeah, Ashley's wedding, it was beautiful.
It was beautiful. Should have been there.
You were crazy. I had the time of my life.
Oh, my God. I'm obsessed.
But talk to us about it because we loved the, you know, from the bachelor party to, like, the wedding ceremony itself, all the beautiful Black women.
Yeah.
Everybody was dressed up. It was looking good. Vogue covered your wedding.
Yes.
And we just love to see Black women live out their love story.
Yeah.
In general. So how are you feeling on the other side of it now that you're finally done with all the wedding things?
Oh my gosh. Here's the thing. Marriage is super cool. I highly suggest it. Like, don't feed into the hype of like, don't get married. Nothing changes. It's stupid. It's a piece of paper.
Mm.
Like, and I said this in the Vogue coverage that for so long, they told us we couldn't get married.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, we didn't have so many rights that we have now. So just like I'm emphatic about voting, I was very emphatic about getting married.
Okay.
Actually, initially, we were just going to call it a celebration.
Oh.
And I was like, well, Daryl, we got to be a little bit more specific.
You know,
what are we celebrating?
What are we doing?
Why are people coming together? So it is a wedding, but we wanted it to be a celebration or call it a celebration because that's really what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a celebration of your love. And, you know, for me, we really did it big.
Yeah.
And it was so beautiful. And it was so centered and focused on Black love.
Yeah.
Unapologetically. And I think that as Black people, we have to do that out loud because it's infectious,
right.
You know, and that's why I was so excited and really grateful that Vogue covered it, because we don't have that type of representation, those types of publications.
For sure.
People aren't reading Vogue and seeing Black people get married, even though we're getting married all the time.
Right.
So I felt really proud to be two dark skin, Black people, Black love, you know, getting married, being happy, having a beautiful bridal party, and just having, you know, the time of our lives. It was great.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Black love is spiritual.
Yes.
Just seeing two Black people at the altar to me is something that that speaks to my heart and my spirit.
Yeah.
But also, I knew that you got engaged during, like, smack in the middle of the pandemic, correct?
Yeah, September 18th, 2020.
Yeah, so you were, like, planning a wedding.
Yeah.
In a pandemic.
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Horrible.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's bad.
There was so many movie parts.
Not gonna lie. But you know what? We got kind of lucky. Like, September 2020 to September 2021, it was kind of the better zone, although it did get a little crazy last winter. And mm-hmm. as we got closer, I was like, oh, my gosh, with this Delta variant. Mm-hmm. I was like, Lord, mm-hmm. listen, please. We cannot. But, you know, we had COVID protocols in place. We asked all of our guests to be tested regardless of vaccination status. Mm-hmm. And we had a COVID-free wedding, 180 people.
Love to hear it.
What are the tips that you would give to somebody who's planning a wedding right now?
Do all of the things. Have your bridal shower. Do your bachelorette. Ask grandma and mom for advice. You know, get together. Do all of the things because I'm so happy I did. You know, some of my favorite moments were from my bridal shower. Mm-hmm. Some of my favorite moments in life are from my bachelorette. I understand why you do all these things leading up to the wedding. Right. Traditionally, you do them because you're solidifying and you're honoring kind of the life that you had before you enter into this union.
Like rites of passage.
Yeah, they are rites of passage. You know, like it was so beautiful. And I, because of COVID, chose to do all of my stuff. I mean, my bachelorette was at the end of July. But I chose to do like my bridal shower in the same weekend as the wedding just because I didn't want people to have to travel multiple times.
Yeah.
And it was so beautiful that 2 days before I got married, I just was surrounded by all of these women who prayed for me and spoke life into me and celebrated me. And it just was all Black women or just women of color, really, that were there that were just smiling at me and I was smiling at them. And it just was
gorgeous.
It just was lovely. And it fed my soul so much. And, you know, that is the thing that does change. When you get married, you are entering into a union. It's not just you.
Mm.
And you have to.
Yeah, that's the scary part.
That's the scary part. But I'm going to tell you, it's the most beautiful part because you really are truly never alone if you have the right partner. You really have someone that's always. It's really got your back. In-house, somebody that has your back. And I'm just so grateful that I got to honor my girlfriends and my mothers and my mother's mothers and my aunts and cousins and whoever it may be that was there, my sisters, to say thank you for making me the woman that I am.
Yeah.
And enjoy it. Have fun. Have fun. And take all the pictures of yourself. My favorite pictures of myself in life are from my wedding weekend and all. Like, just take pictures. Don't, if you're shy, decide not to be shy.
Forever.
Take a Xanax or something. I don't know what you have to do, but like, do all of the things.
Make sure you document it.
Document it.
History, because it is history.
It is.
It is.
And it's personal history. It's legacy.
Yes. And it's your family history. It's becoming your family's history. That's
our great-great-great-grandchildren will look at these pictures and be like, that was my great-great-great-grandma.
Yes.
Wow.
Like, I love looking at my grandparents.
Yes. It was me.
I was pop, pop, pop. You know what I mean? I love looking at my grandparents' wedding photos. Like, they're just so classic and beautiful to me that, like, and that's, like, what we're giving our future grandkids and stuff like that. So that's definitely beautiful. You mentioned having a lot of people there and giving you advice. Do you have a piece of advice that you were given about marriage? I'm sure, you know, I feel like at the wedding, like everybody's shaking your hand and telling you something. But is there something that you felt like, wow, you know, I love the way they put that to pass on? Because we are very unmarried hosts and I feel like our married listeners usually don't benefit from our relationship.
No. let me see. I'll give three quickly.
Okay.
You know, everybody says, well, not everybody, but a lot of people say keep God first.
Yes.
That's really real.
That third string.
Uh-huh. He's got to be at the center. Think about it. We're too human. People are just too human.
Mm.
Humans are too flawed to not be grounded at the center through who and what you believe in. And it might not be God for you. I don't know what it is for you, whoever the listeners are, but you have to make sure that you have a strong spiritual foundation and that's in the center of your marriage. I do believe that. Something else is that, like, you have to master compromise.
Ooh, baby.
You have to master it.
Say it again.
Because, again, it's not just you. So you have to put your needs oftentimes, after somebody else is just because you love them.
Right.
That's it.
Forever.
That's the thing about it. Forever. But if you think about it, like, Scotty, just because I saw what you did with your mom with Strong Black Lead, you and your mother have this beautiful bond that even I can see. I've never been with you both in person. But your mom loves you wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And so much of why you guys have that bond is because she had to compromise, mm-hmm. even as a mother. Mm-hmm. She had to say, my daughter needs this, so I'm not going to have that. Mm-hmm. I need this, so I'm going to make sure I do this to make sure she has that. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing in a marriage. Mm-hmm. And I think oftentimes the reason why marriages fail is because people are unwilling to compromise. Mm-hmm. You're just saying, this is what I want.
Yeah.
You got to fall in line. Mm-hmm. And that's why you hear couples say, there's years where I kind of took the back seat, you know, or there's years where he took the back seat.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever it may be. It's because there's going to be times when you are both going to be able to do everything at the same time and whatever, but there's going to be times that you just have to support that person.
Right.
And again, simply because you love them.
Yeah.
That's it. And the last thing I'll say is just always remember, should you choose to have kids, to keep your marriage first. Because the kids are not all right if the parents are not
all
right.
Talk about it.
It is true. If the parents are stressed out and not putting themselves first and not doing date nights and doing self-care, then the kids are messed up.
Right.
So that, you know, again, I'm 3 weeks and a day in. But, okay, I'm almost at a month. Okay. Yeah. But that is something that as we just think for the future that we're going to always keep in mind.
Yeah. And even though you are only 3 weeks in, in a day. what I do love about you and your husband.
So crazy.
His love story is that it was over a good amount of time.
Yeah.
And you guys found your way back to each other kind of a thing.
We never really lost each other. If we're completely honest.
Yeah.
But we compromised in a way. Like, honestly, it's funny. I've never said it that way, but basically, to make a long story short, we were just on different pages for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at a certain point, we realized we both wanted the same thing, which was to be together. And so one of us had to get on the other person's page so that we could make it work.
Yeah.
Genuinely. But sometimes in relationships, you have to give that time. Because what happens is that if you don't compromise, if you don't come together at the right time when you're supposed to, and if somebody unwillingly becomes a participant in a relationship.
Right, like gets in one before they're ready.
Yeah, or if you pressure somebody, or if you give someone an ultimatum.
You're not getting the full person.
Yeah.
You're not getting someone who wants to be there.
Right.
The thing about Daryl and I is that we both want to be here.
Right.
Nobody was forced. Nobody had an ultimatum. Mm-hmm. Nobody was threatened. Nobody, you know, it was, we looked at each other and we're like, we love each other. Why aren't we doing this for real, for real?
Right.
And we did. And honestly, it's so funny. For years, I thought that it was him. Mm. I was like, it's Daryl. He needs to get it together.
Right.
Doesn't he realize what he has in front of him?
I mean,
like,
duh.
He's just out here living his life. I mean,
look at the material.
Sounds about right.
Sounds like.
But oddly, once we got together, which it was him. He was like, we need to do this. We need to get together. You know, it's time. You know, like, officially asked me to be his girlfriend. Like, took me out to dinner and was like, will you be my girlfriend? Yes, it was so cute. I was the one that struggled in the beginning. It was me.
You were being a girlfriend?
No, it wasn't about being a girlfriend. It was about losing, quote unquote, kind of my independence.
Yeah.
Like, I remember having, like, we moved in together, and I remember being like, I went through, like, that transition of, oh my gosh, this is beautiful, but it's a lot, and my life's changing. I was overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Still happy in the overwhelmed,
right.
But overwhelmed. So I say that to say, oftentimes, ladies, you think you're waiting on this guy, you're doing this and this and this and that, and then it happens, you get what you wanted, and you're like, okay, was I preparing myself?
Yes, because we're so used to the fight. The thing is, we're used to the fight. We're used to I'm going to fight for what's right and what I deserve. But then you're like, okay, you're going to get what you deserve.
Times.
Then you're like, oh, wait, peace.
Wow. Yes.
But not only that, but we're so concerned about men getting their lives together and straightening up and recognizing what's in front of them. But women, I think sometimes we feel like we just got it because we're women. We just got it all together.
Oh, yeah,
we know
what
to do. We know how to do this. But we are so focused oftentimes, I think, on the men that we're not focused on ourselves and preparing ourselves for that next step in our lives.
Yeah.
And we need to prepare ourselves, too.
Yeah.
We can't expect this man to do X, Y, and Z, and we're not doing X, Y, and Z for ourselves. So I say that to say I think I neglected that a little bit within myself.
Yeah.
But obviously, it all worked out.
It all worked out in the end, girl.
That's absolutely true, though. But I did want to talk about your tribe.
Yeah.
Because you have a very strong tribe here in LA.
Yeah.
And I seen, you know, I think you took a picture of a billboard, I'm sure, on your Insta story, and you said, I came to LA.
Yeah.
With $800.
Yes, I did.
And now I'm here.
It's surreal.
How important has your tribe been throughout this journey?
I don't even think there's a word that's been created yet to describe how impactful my tribe has been. Yeah, I moved out here. I was 20, just turned 22, the musical theater degree, coming to LA with no TV or film credits really at all. And just wanted to do what I love to do every day. That was always, I never wanted to be a star. I never was like, I need to
be famous.
I never wanted to be famous.
Right.
I always just wanted to make a living doing what I love to do, which was performing.
And that's how legends are made, though.
That's
I don't think they come in with the idea that they want to be a star. They come in wanting to do what they love to do.
Genuinely.
What they set out to do.
Yeah.
And for me, like I said, there was a big emphasis on making a living.
Yeah.
Because I had been doing what I wanted to do for a long time, most of my life. But it was almost like the challenge of, can I
support myself?
Can I sustain my life and this dream simultaneously?
Yes.
Now, I expected to happen much sooner than it did, okay?
We all did.
Completely honest.
We all do.
Yeah.
I was like,
after my first year,
I was like,
it's like, okay, God, I know you said you would never give me more than I can bear.
My God, I thought I was a cheetah, not a snail. it's weird.
Okay.
But my tribe, they've been with me since the very beginning. And I talk a lot about them, and I call them my destiny advocates, because I believe that everyone needs to have people in their lives who remind them of their destinies when or if you should forget what it is.
I love that.
Yeah, and that's what they do for me. They're more than just a tribe. They're people that reinstill my destiny within me. Yes. They allow me to do that for them. They inspire me in ways that I sometimes can't inspire myself. When I forget who I am, they remind me without being prompted to do so.
Right.
They were godsend. The fact that people mention it to me, they say like, "Oh my gosh, your tribe, like your friends,
no,
like
yeah, you guys shine."
It
like,
just
so evident the love.
Yeah, it just is really beautiful. But yeah, I moved to LA with $800. Delta one way ticket that was $80. I was like, yes, thank God it wasn't over 100. I was really like, And I came, and my god sister Darren was kind enough. She was getting her PhD out in the Inland Empire, which is like 50 miles outside of LA, and she was like, you can stay with me. And I was like, great. Bought an air mattress from Target.
Right.
I was on an air mattress for 6 months, going back and forth. I was working at United Colors of Benetton. Like, this was a long time ago, guys.
Wow.
This is 2010. February 1st, 2010 is when I moved.
Okay.
And so, yeah, so to see myself on a billboard, smack dab on the middle of a billboard on Sunset Boulevard for a show that I've been on for 4 seasons, 40 episodes, with a network and a studio, you know, Netflix and Lionsgate, who I love, you know, created by one of my dearest friends, Justin Simeon, working with some of my dearest friends. It's just, it's a God dream, you all. Like, seriously. And what's so cool about the way God works and the way life works is that I didn't see it. I saw myself being successful, but the cool thing about dreaming is that oftentimes, if you really think about your dreams, they're not exactly how you imagine them. And that's because there has to be an element of surprise in order for you to really feel
and know.
And know not only who it came from, but what it means. And so, like I said, when I moved out to LA, I knew I wanted to be happy. I knew I wanted to be able to support myself doing what I love to do. But I didn't know that it looked like being Joelle and Dear White People.
Right.
And that truly surpassed my expectations.
That's what I wanted to bring up, too, because I think our dreams aren't big enough. Our dreams aren't big enough, especially for God's plan.
All right.
I just got chills.
Like, I feel like every time it's like, God's like, nah, bigger, actually.
Girl, you don't have a clue. Like, I know God be like,
oh, that's what you asking, girl. You just wait and see.
I always, like, laugh. I'm always like, God's probably like, what is Ashley about to be tripping about today?
Right.
Oh, my God.
If he only knew
what I
had
for her. He's so irritated with me. I know he is. He's like, if she would just relax.
Just for us.
Gosh.
My goodness.
Please. Rolling his eyes. I feel so bad. I'm sorry.
Right. Because you talk a lot about, I saw your manifestation map.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit more about that. So I thought that was really dope that you had spoke about that on Instagram.
Yeah. So 2010s was like a vision board, yes, you know, it was, decade.
It's like, I don't think I knew about it before that, personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's like,
for
oh, I
sure.
can map something mm-hmm. now, visualize it, you say.
I think Oprah taught me about
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
it was Oprah.
It was Oprah that did
taught
it.
Us.
She's brought a lot. She was like, yo, let me tell y'all what the whites are doing yeah. over here.
Yeah,
y'all know?
We got to get in on this, y'all. Yeah, for sure. And we did, and we took it and ran with it.
With
we started having
it.
Parties with Moët, and we was just,
we
you know, and brunch.
We made it ours.
Yeah, we for sure, you know, chicken and waffle, vision board parties.
That's
yeah,
a
we
fact.
Yeah, no, for sure. Every New Year was like five people would be like, you're invited to my vision board party. You have to decide who's you go. You can't do
I
seven
must
vision
say, I
boards.
Must say, I can only have so many vision boards this year, please.
I still haven't done one.
What?
Oh, well, you're going to do a manifestation, Matt.
I see.
Tell us how. Tell
I'm
going to
hold
you.
So basically, I was doing vision boards, and I was like, not feeling it. It's not enough. That's basically what it was. I felt, literally, I was like, this isn't hitting for me anymore.
Those magazines. Y'all came with, like, so many magazines
yeah,
to cut out.
It felt devoid of inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I needed to go deeper.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had been, you know, really doing a lot of manifestation and really working on that in my life and figuring out what that meant for me spiritually, mentally.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I think the reason that the vision board isn't hitting for me is that it's just vision. It's okay. not deeper. It's not, I'm not manifesting oh. these things. So really for me, what it is there's more intention behind it. So I'm cutting out these things that are speaking to me that I'm really making. It's not just I see it and it looks cool. It's like it has to hit. We all know what that feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Intuitively.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm making sure that I'm taking time on each of those things to manifest it in my life.
Mm.
Sometimes that meant prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that meant just closing my eyes and really visualizing it, not visualizing the pasting on the paper, but visualizing what that cutout meant in my life.
Right. Yeah.
And what that looked like in my life. And then deciding and declaring that it is a map to the life that I want to create. In tandem with God.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I always made sure, which I wasn't doing before too, to write the date that I did it on the back.
Okay.
Because that was very important, especially for the way things manifested after I did the manifestation map. It literally all happened within a year, almost to the day. It was really kind of eerie how that all happened.
Wow.
So yeah, it's putting more intention behind it.
Okay.
That's really what it is.
I love that.
Yeah. And you know, the way you went above and beyond for that map and even in manifestation and like even just putting so much thought into things, it reminds me so much of your character on Dear White People, Joelle. I always felt like there was a lot of similarities, and maybe it's because Justin's a friend of yours
mm-hmm.
that he put in your character that is in tandem with you as a person.
Yeah. There are definitely through lines for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that I really love about Joelle is that she's so intentional.
Yeah.
And she fully knows what she wants and she's excited about going after it, but she's stressed, especially in this fourth season. The girl
yeah.
is going
through it.
Yeah, and a lot of times she'd be doing it to herself, though. I'd be like, nah, Joelle,
no,
nobody
she's
told,
always doing it to herself.
Nobody told you to do all of this.
Nobody.
They actually told you to not.
Literally, reading the scripts would just literally just give me, like, anxiety. Because I would be like, oh, my gosh, Joelle, why are you doing this here? Because, too, I think people forget, like, we meet her at 19.
Yeah.
We leave her at 21, mm-hmm. or, you know, in the school year. But, like, I'm so much older than she is, just Ashley
yeah.
is. So, I'm,
yeah.
you know, I look at her sometimes as, like, a little sister.
Yeah.
When I'm playing her, I
yeah.
don't. But when I watch it, I'm always like, oh, aww. Man, like, she's going to learn.
Right.
She's not there now. And I understand the struggles of like that 19, 20, 21 phase of life. College
baby.
Life.
What a time to be
you
alive.
Know, but it's there's so many things about Joelle that either I didn't go through or I worked through already.
Yeah.
So sometimes it makes me sad to see her go through it all. Yeah.
Yeah.
The poor girl.
So what do you love most about playing Joelle over these last 4 or 5 years now?
It's been 5 years with 4 seasons. Yeah. Just what she represents in the world, in the history of television,
mm-hmm.
that to me is the most important and poignant part of Joelle, is that she's a beautiful, young, talented, brilliant, dark-skinned, natural-haired Black girl on
yeah.
television, striving and doing her best, being a good friend, being
yes.
a good person,
yeah.
gotta be a doctor. Like, she's just wonderful.
Yeah.
She really is wonderful. And she is the type of character that I would want my future daughters and sons
yeah.
to look at and mm-hmm. be inspired by. So to play someone that's so pure at heart and funny and fun. It's just really, you know, oftentimes for actors, that's a once in a lifetime opportunity. And I hope that I have many, many more. But should I not, to have been able to play Joelle is, that's really, like, we go back to when I came here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't have that specific dream, but that was God saying, no, we got to dream bigger.
Bigger.
You have to plant yourself in television history as a character like this. Absolutely. And I feel like I did.
Yes. Yeah. Let's talk about this final season.
Let's talk about it.
Girl, when they called you, when they called you, paint the picture.
Take us there.
And said, hey, Ashley. Hey, girl.
What type of dialing numbers were that?
That was the Kim Possible before.
Oh, my God.
When they called you up and said, this final season, we going to do a musical. What was your first thought?
God, you're listening.
Okay.
I went to school for musical theater.
Yes, right? I know. Yes.
Like, y'all, like, this is what I'm trying to tell y'all.
You were like, this is the role I was born for. I was born to do this.
Literally. Right. And it's so funny because as the cast, we joked that I was the only one that really felt that way.
Right.
Everyone else was like,
I imagined that.
Hold on, wait, what? And I was like, shouting in my living room. You know, I was,
everybody.
I was screaming, hopping up and down, calling my mom. Like, it was, everyone else was stressed, had to get a drink or something. I don't know. I'm popping champagne. It was very different.
I could tell. I know, Logan probably somewhere like, I know this bitch Ashley is just thrilled.
1,000%. Right. 1,000%. And, but yeah, I was like, I literally was like, God, wow. Like, because here's the thing. Mm. Think about how rare that is. I'm on a full-on 30-minute, half-hour comedy for 3 seasons. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of like I sang, you know, but it wasn't a part of the show. It just was like a thing because we knew that Joelle had like that was one of her talents, which was cool, which was great that the writers like infused that, right? But to get a call saying that every episode is going to have
music, a huge switch.
Choreography, rapping, singing, that just is like, that never happens.
Yeah.
Because also people that are talking about the show, they're like, we thought it was going to be like a musical episode, not a musical season, they're as God being like, nah, bigger. Like that's kind of when I look at my life and my career now, although I feel like, you know, I'm still, you know, fighting and striving and whatever, there are so many bright spots where that has happened.
Yes.
God has never not exceeded my expectations and blessed me abundantly. And this is just an example of that. It really is.
Yeah.
You were singing down, girl.
Oh,
you were
singing down.
And you know, I have, the way I've gotten to know you is I've been covering Dear White People from season one. Like, so it even
our
felt
New York
like
trips.
All your New York trips, I was always the BuzzFeed reporter that had news going Dear White People, interviewing, writing features, whatever. But so I was really like, Justin, you really, he took a huge risk and flip for making this big change for the fourth and final season. Mm-hmm. I know the internet had a lot of feelings about it. They were like, oh, okay.
Yeah. What?
And I wondered if you could share what, if any way, what Justin's vision was when choosing. Was it just like a creative choice that he, like, was he just like, oh, we just want to try this out? Or was there a bit more something that we may not know at home about Justin's choice?
Yeah, no, I think, here's the thing. Justin loves music. Right. He's a musical, like, Bad Hair. Like, Justin did, like, original songs for Bad Hair. Like, he's brilliant. I mean, Justin can literally do anything. I wouldn't be surprised if there was an announcement that came out that he's the world's leading forensic scientist. I would be like, of course he is.
World's leading.
Yeah, of course he is. That was very random. I don't know where that came from.
But that was a good one.
But he could do that. I think Justin loves music, and he wanted to do that. And also, Justin wanted to showcase his cast, I think. And that, for me, whether you like the season or not, the takeaway for me is just there's nothing that we can't do. We completely went from being a regular, normal comedy to having a completely musical season in the midst of COVID.
Right.
Mm. And Netflix did this, you know, Strong Black Lead, and Netflix did this amazing campaign, which was part of what I Instagrammed, which is about Black joy.
Yeah.
And Black joy matters. And part of Black joy is song. And it's dance. Mm-hmm. And it's being expressive in all the ways and using all of our whole bodies, all of our limbs. You know, that's ancestral. Yeah. So I think that, you know, on a really deep level, I think it's just illuminating Black joy.
Right.
That's what I feel. is part of it.
I love that. First of all, Black Joy is number one
on
this show.
That's what we try to...
This is what this show does.
You all are physical manifestations of Black Joy.
We try to be.
That's who you are.
Thank you.
Yeah. We absolutely try to do.
That's what we try to do. And I love that you brought up all of that legacy and contributions to the culture, because we wanted to ask you what you hope your white people's contribution will be to the culture overall, now that it's over. Like, where do you hope to see in the lexicon of things? Because honestly, we don't get many examples of Black college students' lives on television.
Yeah, no.
We haven't had an HBCU one in a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Between Dear White People and Grown-ish, those are really the only two that were out currently. And now Dear White People has ended. I wanted to know what you hope people will remember about his contribution to the culture.
Everything. You know, I always reference like a different world. Like a different world was what I would binge. You couldn't really binge.
We would hope it came on Nick and Night Marathon.
Yes.
Put your VHS in there and hit record.
It was like the prehistoric version of binging.
Right.
But
same.
Yeah.
But same.
But prior to going to Howard, the summer leading up to me going to Howard, I just watched A Different World all day, every day. And it, like, pumped me up.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to Hillman. Yeah. Okay, Howard. You know, I was like, this is exactly what I'm doing. Like, is this what the dorms are going to look like? Yeah. Like, am I going to meet my lifelong besties there? Which I did. You know, it was everything to me. And again, it was because I saw myself in those characters.
Exactly.
I saw myself. It was so clear as day. And that's what I hope Dear White People is to people 20, 30, 50, 100 years down the line. I hope they can look at us and see themselves, aspire for great things, feel bold enough to be their full, authentic selves. Because I think, you know, our show really hones in a lot on that.
Yes.
I hope Dear White People always makes people think. We have to remember, you know, our show is kind of like a 40-episode think piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? And the cool thing about Dear White People is that it will always be relevant, which is kind of like a beautiful thing and a sad thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like A Different World. I watched A Different World probably, I don't know, 20 years after it had, like, originally aired, but everything still hit the same.
It still hits.
And it still does.
Yeah, I watched it again during the pandemic.
It still hits.
And I was like, wow.
It's my favorite show, but it's crazy that it's so relevant to me going. We went to HBCUs in the new millennium. And, like, these were in the late 80s, early 90s. Same stuff.
And Dear White People will, too. Unless we change. There is a world, there is a possibility that Dear White People doesn't have to hit the same in 50 years, in 20 years.
Mm, yeah.
But the way we're going right now, it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. We do have one last question.
Let's hear it, ladies.
What is bringing you joy right now?
Right now.
That's such a good question. I had to just
let
it out. Yes.
Ooh, yes.
Being in this season of my life, it's so surreal.
It's gotta be beautiful.
It's so beautiful. You know, I'm just in a season with so many endings and beginnings.
Yeah.
And there's a convergence of it.
Yes.
And I thought that it would feel stressful. I thought that I'd be, in a lot of ways, a lot sadder than I am. Mm. Just with Dear White People ending, just a lot of life changes. But I couldn't be happier. I'm probably in my favorite, most exciting, most motivating season of my life. You know, I feel hopeful for the things to come in my career. And the cool thing is that I don't know what it is, but that's the best part. I don't know what's to come, but I'm trusting God. And as we've talked about this entire time, I know that whatever it is going to be better than anything I could have ever imagined.
Yes.
And I'm excited about that. And I'm so excited that I've been blessed with a marriage. I feel so incredibly blessed to have a partner that loves me, supports me, tells me I'm beautiful every day, and wants to build a life with me. Like, I was telling someone, I was like, it honestly feels like my life's just getting started. I'm 33, but it feels like September 2021, everything just is really getting started. So what's bringing me joy is just that I'm in such a beautiful season, and we all know that, like, beautiful seasons come and go, but that's part of life.
Yeah.
And so I'm just relishing this season right now.
That's the beauty behind that, too, is you'll have this moment and these moments to hold on to when you have harder times, when you meet hardship. Here comes, oh, yes, I had this season. I have this season
yeah.
to relish and love on still.
Yeah.
Because people forget that moment. You know, gratitude is huge.
Gratitude.
And it's super important.
I'm grounded in gratitude.
Yes.
That's where I am. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Ashley.
Thank you. I love you ladies so much. And I have to say, I am so, so proud of you. This
Ashley,
is beautiful.
Don't do this.
No, I'm serious. I have to do this. This oh. is, to see you all thriving is just... You know, we haven't always had opportunities like this.
That's
three black right. girls with our natural hair popping.
Listen.
Protective styles popping okay. in a studio talking about black joy. Like, we have to take it in. It's so wonderful, and I wish you all of the success.
That feeling is so mutual, yeah. Ashley. I hope you know that is
first of all,
fact both ways, okay?
First of all, I hope that you leave no stone unturned. Like, I hope that you are able to be in every single lane
that you want to be in.
Do not ever limit yourself because mm-hmm. the possibilities are endless
Thank
for you. Like, endless. So I am a big fan.
Thank
Huge.
You.
Huge.
Yeah.
So if you've been with me since the beginning.
I'm just watching
like,
so proud.
Like,
so
from
up.
The right. beginning.
Yes.
Like, and I just have to say, like, it almost feels like you've chronicled my career yeah. in a way.
Wow.
And my first face that I would always see and be excited to see doing my first press tours for my
yeah.
first show was yours.
Oh, thank you.
So just to see you here now and to be here with you now with our sister Scotty is
yes.
just so beautiful. And I just, this is also a moment I'm gonna really always hold with me.
Me too.
And I feel very grateful and I hope to come back
it.
Many, 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 many times.
Yes, we hope to have you back many, many, many times on your next Netflix show that you're starring in.
Yay!
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 All right, go ahead. Go ahead.
Stop! I'm ready. Ready. All right. That's our show. It's been a long walk to freedom, but we made it to the end of this work week, okay? Thank you all for tuning in and for your support and prayers.
Thank you.
During this last 2 weeks.
Our show is a production of Pineapple Street Studios in partnership with Netflix and Strong Black Lead, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to our team. Our editor is Jess Jupiter, and our producer is Taylor Hosking. Our music is by Amanda Jones. Special thanks to Max Linsky and Jenna Weiss-Berman.
Make sure to share your thoughts with us on the episode using the hashtag OKNowListen.
Amen.
Follow Strong Black Lead on the socials at Strong Black Lead.
Mm-hmm.
And follow us, too. I am at Sylvia O'Bell.
And I'm at Libra Season at Scotty Beam.
Birthday Beam. Birthday Beam.
Birthday Beam, baby.
All right. Until next time, folks, stay blessed.